It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eaten Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 13 in the National Football League. And what a way to eat. It's Thanksgiving. I cannot wait. That is tomorrow. I dominate Thanksgiving like nobody else has ever dominated Thanksgiving. It's the best holiday by far. Food, family, football, nothing else matters. I don't need gifts. I don't need candy. I'm totally cool with Thanksgiving. I am Ross Tucker, played in the NFL for a while. If you never heard of me, no problem. It's not a big deal. He is Evan Silva. He is the star of RotoWorld.com, which, for my money, is certainly the best free website out there for fantasy information. And I haven't really checked out a whole lot of the ones where you subscribe to them, so they might be awesome too. But the amount of information at RotoWorld.com is insane. Hopefully you're already following him on Twitter, at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. The channel, the podcast, if you will, at RTF Podcast. That is producer Brian. RossTucker.com is always the hub for any and all of the RT Media podcasts, including this one. So if you're ever not sure where to go to listen to this or to get the feed for your device, just head over to RossTucker.com, where you can also support the podcast if you'd like by clicking on one of those Amazon banner ads if you need to buy some stuff online for the holidays. Do not get involved in Black Friday. They should call it Black Eye Friday, because if I went out on Black Friday, if I went to Walmart, one of those places on Black Friday, there'd be a lot of people getting a black eye, including me publicly, because I'd be in jail for assaulting some lady as she tried to jip me in line. It would be a bad deal, okay? So don't go to Black Friday. Go to RossTucker.com and click on the Amazon link. It's probably cheaper anyway at Amazon, and you're saving yourself a lot of aggravation. Speaking of aggravation, Evan, we're at that time of year where I just lost again. So I'm 5-8 or 5-7 or whatever it is. So
Ross, who did you lose to, Ross?
I don't know. Brian, who said you can talk?
Who did you lose to, Ross?
Who said you can talk?
I did.
I don't know. Who did I lose to?
That would be me.
I know. That's why we're not talking about it. Brian, you're so into looking into the past. I'm trying to look forward, okay? Live in the moment, dude. I'm trying to look forward.
This was my only moment of the season.
Who cares about 3 days ago? That's 2 days ago. That's ancient history, dude. I'm trying to help these people listening with their fantasy leagues this week, and you're dwelling on your own personal experience last week.
My bad. I apologize profusely.
Really unprofessional. I was hoping, Bri, I was hoping to just slide right by there without that actually coming up. But anyway, Evan, so talk to me a little bit about, since this is my first time going full throttle into fantasy, talk to me about this time of year, playoffs, and really if you're someone like me and you know you're not going to be in the playoffs, what the last week or the last couple of weeks are about.
Right. Well, the whole goal, you know, of the entire fantasy regular season is to get into the playoffs, and then anything can happen. You could enter as a 6 seed or a 4 seed or an 8 seed, you know, depending on your league size, and you can run the table over the final 4 weeks and get that trophy. And if you're out, you know, start thinking about playing daily fantasy on DraftKings or FanDuel. I mean, we will definitely focus a little bit more on daily league recommendations and just talking about daily league strategies over the next few weeks. I mean, even if you didn't make the playoffs, the fantasy season is not over. There are still opportunities for you to win and, you know, quote unquote, save your fantasy season, even if you didn't make the playoffs in your season-long league.
That's a great point. That is a really, really good point that even if you're out of it, first of all, even if you're out of it, it's really, really important that you're still hearing about what we think about players and certain matchups. Second of all, daily fantasy is awesome and a great opportunity for you to kind of maybe make some money, number one. Number two, hone your skills. And number three, make the games more entertaining. In fact, you could do that daily fantasy at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. No season-long commitment. Play whenever you want, especially if you don't make the playoffs. Play then. Then you can go right in and why don't you win? Take everything that happened during the fantasy season and use that as fuel. Use that as motivation to go win money, legit money. One guy turned $10 into $5,000. Another turned $2 into $10,000. You can pick your team in minutes. A new millionaire crowned nearly every week. You could be next. Head over to DraftKings.com now and use promo code FEAST to play in the $10 million Fantasy Football World Championships. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter FEAST now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Let's roll, Bri.
Next meal.
Am I allowed to talk now, Ross?
Bri, I just, as long as you're looking forward and not, I mean, dude, you're not going to get anywhere in life if you continue to look in the rearview mirror, okay?
I'm looking forward.
I'm looking through the windshield, Bri.
I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward so much to tomorrow, Chicago at Detroit.
By the way, how unbelievable is it? And I gotta send an email to Roger Goodell. For them to schedule Thanksgiving with all six NFC teams, specifically for the Fantasy Feast podcast format, where we do one conference and then the next, one conference one day, the next conference. It's unbelievable. It's really, really thoughtful of the NFL to specifically schedule the three Thanksgiving Day games all for NFC teams for our purposes. Evan, these two teams might be the two most disappointing offenses in the league. It's mind-boggling when you look at the talent on these teams, how disappointing they've been. And I got to tell you, I talked about this with Greg Cosell on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast today. I've gotten to the point now where this is just who these quarterbacks are. I know they've each had a good year here or there, but I'm just to the point now where this is who these quarterbacks are. They're never going to be top 10 guys. They're always going to be tantalizingly talented, but never really putting it all together. That's my new thought process.
Yeah, I agree with you on Cutler. I think it'll be interesting to see Matthew Stafford in the second year of Joe Lombardi next year in the same offense for the second year with a healthy supporting cast. So I'm not going to close the book on Matthew Stafford, but I agree with you on Jay Cutler.
In terms of this game, I mean, yeah. I don't know. How do you evaluate the Lions? I mean, they can't score touchdowns. Right. It feels like they have talent everywhere. Calvin Johnson, I don't care what he says, he's been disappointing. I mean, Golden Tate's been the man there. How do you see this matchup from a Lions perspective?
Yeah, but they've also played Arizona and New England in New England in their last two games. And those are pretty good defenses. And then over the final 4 weeks of fantasy season, they play the Bears twice, and they play the Buccaneers and the Vikings. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm too glass half full and too overly optimistic, but I feel like they have so much talent really on their offense that it could click for them at a moment's notice, and they could get hot and, you know, become a team to be reckoned with in the actual NFL playoffs. They're back at home this week. They're in the dome. It's a 47-point over-under, which is pretty decent. And they're 7-point favorites, which means that their team total is 27 points. So the people in Vegas anticipate them scoring, you know, a pretty healthy dose of points against a pretty bad Bears defense.
Hasn't the Bears defense been better the last 2 weeks, though?
It has, but I mean, if you look at those games independently, I mean, they faced Josh McCown in the rain, and, you know, they Josh McCown turned the ball over a few times. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you think that the Bears defense is all of a sudden good? You know, I don't. And number one, they're going to be without Lance Briggs in this game, and they might not have Kyle Fuller, their best cornerback. So, you know, Matthew Stafford could throw the ball up to Calvin Johnson a few times, and he scores a few touchdowns, and then things are starting to look good for the Lions offense heading into, you know, what's a pretty weak stretch of defenses. So
the bottom line, though,
yeah.
Evan, is if you have Tate and Calvin Johnson, you're playing them.
Right.
What about Joique Bell and Reggie Bush? As of when we record this, what's the latest on Bush and how do you see it?
Well, Bush looks like he's going to play, but he says that every week, and then he's missed four games, you know, after he said that. I think you just got to write him off because he hasn't even really been effective when he has played in games. So he's off the radar. His return takes Theo Riddick off the radar. Joique Bell gets the ball a lot, and he hasn't been, you know, an incredibly efficient runner this season, but he gets a lot of volume. And I think that the Lions should be able to move the ball in this game into scoring position, and he gets goal line carries, and they will, and the Bears will not have Lance Briggs. So, I understand all of the analysis to this point, but again, you know, kind of like we talked, you talked with Brian, we're trying to look forward, and I think that the Lions should have some offensive success in this game, and that bodes well for Joique Bell because he gets those scoring position opportunities. I think he's a good bet for, you know, 18 plus touches and a goal line touchdown.
What about the Bears? Forte had a nice game last week against the Bucks. Very tough to run on the Detroit Lions. Can this be a game where Jeffrey and Marshall have big games based on what Brady did against the Lions on Sunday?
I think that Jay Cutler is going to have a bad game at Detroit against a defense that is kind of smarting after what happened to them last week. They're back home. I mean, this is a recipe for domination by the Detroit defensive line and Jay Cutler to have a poor game. With that said, Alshon Jeffrey is really big, and he can win contested catches, and he can score touchdowns, and he can win with his size. So, you know, he's always like a 60% bet to score a touchdown in any given game. And so you're never benching him. I would bench Jay Cutler. And then Brandon Marshall, I think, is another guy who's an every-week starter, even though I don't think that Jay Cutler has a great game in this particular game because he's another guy who can win with size and score touchdowns. So,
if you have depth on your team, mm-hmm. is there any thought to maybe sitting Forte?
I don't think so. You know, since Mark Trestman took over as the Bears head coach in 2013, Matt Forte has gone over 100 all-purpose yards in 74% of his games. And the Lions have actually allowed the second most receptions in the league to running backs and the third most receiving yards in the league to running backs. So I don't think Matt Forte is going to go out and average 6 yards a carry, but I think that he'll average, you know, 3.5 or 4, and then he'll get, you know, 5-6 catches for 60 yards and have a solid fantasy day. I mean, he's an every week fantasy starter. I understand it's a bad matchup, but you're not sitting him.
What's up, you mutts? It's Kevin Clancy, better known as KFC from BarstoolSports.com, the most popular guy website online. Now we're doing the Barstool Network, which is everything that's great about Barstool, brought to you in podcast form. We've got two podcasts. Mail Time is for the average working guy in the cubicle looking to escape his day with relatable stories of 9-to-5 life. KFC Radio is like every drunken guy's conversation with his friends, but with me and your favorite other Barstool personalities.
Download it now at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Next meal.
Philadelphia at Dallas.
Well, the over-under number is pretty high. People are expecting a lot of points in this one. Obviously, DeMarco, Dez, we get it. Terrence Williams has been off the radar screen. I mean, it almost feels like there's no point. Is Jason Witten the only person even worth discussing for the Cowboys? And even with that, if you have him as one of your tight ends, my guess is you're probably playing him. But the rest of the guys for the Cowboys, it's like we already know what the deal is with them, don't we?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you just said. The Eagles have given up some big games to tight ends recently. Greg Olsen had a huge game against them in Week 10. And then last week, Delani Walker went 5 for 155 against the Eagles. They're missing D'Amico Ryans. Why don't you tell the people what you saw on the sideline with Tony Romo?
Well, I was on the sideline Sunday night, and what's most noteworthy is he just looks a little stiff, and I think even more noteworthy than what I saw on the sideline was somebody I'm close with – spent some time with him after the game, and they just said he's really hurting. I mean, he is really hurting. You know, even talking and walking to and from the press conference, they just said, man, this guy he's struggling. And I got to tell you, Evan, you know, I had a back surgery, a significant back surgery, April 25th, 2004, or 2005, discectomy, laminotomy, foraminotomy at the L4, L5, and L5S1 level. So two levels, discectomy, foraminotomy, that's a major surgery, right? That was April 25th. By July 25th or whatever, 3 months later, I was ready for the first day of training camp, and I did not miss any practices that year or anything because of my back. So the fact that they've been monitoring him so much, the fact that he still doesn't practice on Wednesdays, he's a quarterback. He's not a 320-pound offensive lineman running into 350-pound monsters that shouldn't even be human beings like I was doing, okay? And he had the surgery the week of the Eagles game last year in December. It's almost December again. It's a year later. I don't know what they did to his back or what's going on, but he's going to be in bad shape when he's done playing football, just based on how they're treating him in practice, how I thought he looked, and maybe even more important, how I was told he was acting and walking after the game. I mean, this guy is really hurting. I don't know what that means for fantasy. I mean, I guess you just keep rolling with him as long as he's doing it on the field, but if you're in a dynasty league, I would trade him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and he's had two back surgeries too. You know, you're not benching him. The Eagles allowed the third most passing TDs in the NFL, but, you know, I thought that was something that was definitely interesting to note and would interest listeners.
What interests you in terms of the Eagles? I mean, at this point, I feel like, you know, LeSean McCoy got back on track. The Cowboys' defense is not good, so I think we know where he is. If you've got Macklin, I'm assuming you're playing him. Is there anybody else that's noteworthy, whether it's a Sproles, a Jordan Matthews, maybe even a Sanchez in certain leagues? Although there's no more buys anymore, so I think maybe some people would think they'd have a better option than Sanchez, especially with his turnovers.
Yeah, his turnovers are a concern, but you're also, you know, you're looking at the over-under, which is really high. I mean, it's the second highest of the week, easily the highest on Thanksgiving. You're looking at the volume that is in the Eagles offense. They fire off a lot of plays. You're looking at, I mean, he's got good weapons for sure. And, I mean, he's probably going to rack up a lot of yards. And also the game is played indoors, which is something that we shouldn't underestimate and, you know, undervalue this time of year. So Mark Sanchez does present risk, and he's probably going to turn the ball over a couple of times. And that actually makes the Cowboys' defense an interesting streamer. They're at home, so they check that box, and they're going against a turnover-prone quarterback. But Mark Sanchez is probably going to rack up, you know, 300 all-purpose yards, maybe more, a couple of touchdowns. I think he's a fairly high floor fantasy start with a little bit of upside on Thursday in that Thursday afternoon game.
Anybody else noteworthy to talk about there?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Matthews has been a machine over the last 3 weeks with Mark Sanchez as the Eagle starter. I think he's an every week fantasy starter. Chip Kelly gets him matched up against linebackers and safeties quite frequently. He will also go against Sterling Moore in this game, who the Cowboys have been using at slot corner. They've been using Orlando Scandrick out at right corner a lot more in recent games, and in their nickel, Sterling Moore will be the slot corner, and so Jordan Matthews will run a decent amount of routes against him. I think Macklin has the best matchup with Brandon Carr, who's just been a total bust for the Cowboys since they gave him, you know, that $50 million contract or whatever it was. Macklin should have a really nice game, but Matthews has asserted himself as an every week fantasy starter. I think he's a wide receiver too in fantasy. Again, high scoring projection, and the game is indoors.
Next meal.
Our final Thanksgiving Day game, Seattle at San Francisco.
Do you like any matchups in this game? I mean, both these teams really struggling to throw the ball. I mean, maybe Marshawn Lynch, given the success Alfred Morris had on Sunday against San Francisco running it?
Yeah, he would be the one guy. This is a game with a 39.5 over-under, which is the lowest of all games in Week 13. So, you know, on some of the daily sites, there are tournaments. They call them like the Turkey Day tournament, or, you know, it's just a Thanksgiving-only game tournament. And this would be the game, I think, to avoid in those tournament games. The other two games are played in domes, and this game has a really, really low over-under. If you go back and look at the scoring between these teams, they actually played three times last year, because they played once in the playoffs, and they were all like under 40 points, all three of them. So you can't really expect big days from any of the pass catchers on either side. Marshawn Lynch would be the one guy. The 49ers have shown some cracks in run defense recently. A couple of weeks ago, Mark Ingram ran for 120 yards on him. Last week, Alfred Morris chewed them up. And, you know, the Seahawks run a similar zone running scheme to what the Redskins do. So Marshawn Lynch, as long as he's healthy, and it looks like he's definitely going to play, he should be the one guy who has a pretty nice game.
Next meal.
On to Sunday, Washington at Indianapolis.
I'll be at this game. Evan, I'm going to be doing the color for this game for Sports USA. We have a quarterback change in Washington. And, boy, just talking to Greg Cosell again on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I mean, he couldn't have been more down on RG3 if he tried. It's just a stunning, stunning fall from grace, if you will. Does Colt McCoy give anybody a boost or a downgrade? Because I follow you on Twitter, and you note that Colt McCoy is not necessarily a good thing for Alfred Morris.
Yeah, Alfred Morris' career yards per carry average is almost 4.9 with Robert Griffin III at quarterback. And then it drops to about 3.7 with Colt McCoy or Kirk Cousins starting games. And I think that a lot of that has to do with RG3's, you know, the stress that he puts on a defense because of his running threat. And even though he has not been as big of a running threat recently, you know, defenses still have to account for that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that it's a blow to Alfred Morris. The Colts are still a team that is vulnerable to power runners, and Alfred Morris, you know, at his core is a power runner. But, you know, looking forward into future games, I do think that it's a going forward concern for Alfred Morris that he's, you know, losing that stress that RG3 put on the defense. And by the way, Greg Cosell liked Robert Griffin III more than Andrew Luck coming out in the 2012 draft. So that's not a matter of Greg Cosell being a quote unquote hater. You know, I mean, that's just him looking at the tape and seeing what he sees on the film. So that's, I mean, that's, you know, poignant, stinging analysis, you know, of RG3.
Next meal.
The New York Giants at the Jacksonville Jags.
Well, I mean, this Odell Beckham stuff's just gotten out of control. I mean, you know, watching him, it's just crazy how sudden he is. What does this mean from a fantasy perspective?
I mean, if you watch the games, you know, Eli Manning is willing to throw to Odell Beckham even when it looks like he's covered. The kid has a huge catch radius. He can go up and get it. He's got, you know, sticky hands. I mean, he's a true number one wide receiver in the NFL, and he's a true number one wide receiver in fantasy. And I think he'll have another huge game against the Jaguars, who are not very good at slowing down wide receivers. We saw it again last week. T.Y. Hilton had a huge game. You know, Odell Beckham might be a guy who wins fantasy championships this year, despite the fact that he missed, the first four or six games with a hamstring injury.
Yeah, is there anybody else on the Giants? What did you see from Rashad Jennings or your boy Rube? Is Rube going to hit your numbers that you set for him before the year?
I don't know what the numbers were before the year, but it's not looking good for him. I mean,
It's so funny too, Evan, because Ruben Rand, I mean, Odell Beckham just makes him look like, I mean, Odell Beckham has 41 catches in like three games. I mean, he just makes him, Odell Beckham makes Ruben Randle really pale in comparison.
Absolutely. I mean, one is a dynamic player. The other one is just, you know, I mean, he's a big body who can theoretically do some things, but just, I mean, he hasn't gotten better. And it looks like Kevin Gilbride was right about Ruben Randle, and I was wrong about him. But, you know, we're moving forward. We're not dwelling on the past.
That's how you do it, Evan. Don't worry about him. Just move. Just go. Just keep going.
Right. Rashad Jennings, he's been okay. He's really only had one good game all season. The thing is that he's very involved in the passing game. I mean, he had 8 catches last week, so that gives him a really nice floor. And the Jaguars have been mediocre, I'd say, against the run. Mediocre to below average. Rashad Jennings did lose a goal line touchdown to Andre Williams last week, but he was also in the game on that late game goal line series. So it's not like he's been eliminated from their goal line offense. Rashad Jennings is a rock solid play, I think, in this game. I don't know if gives you a ton of upside, but he's a solid RB2 in fantasy.
Next meal.
The Carolina Panthers at the Minnesota Vikings.
This feels like a pretty ugly game. I don't know. I mean, who you're rolling with here?
Yeah, I mean, Cam Newton's coming off a bye. Hopefully he's healthier. Hopefully the offensive line is healthier and, you know, they're a little bit rejuvenated. Mike Zimmer's defense did have some problems with RG3, another dual threat quarterback. That was actually probably RG3's best game in Minnesota. So you could kind of try to hang your hat on that with Cam Newton. You know, I don't know what to say. He's another one of those dual threat quarterbacks, kind of like Colin Kaepernick and to a lesser extent Russell Wilson, who you kind of don't know what you're going to get on a week-to-week basis from these guys. You don't know what you're going to get snap to snap. You don't really know what you're going to get game to game. And it's looking like the running quarterbacks haven't revolutionized the NFL.
It's a really, really good point. What about I'm assuming if you have Kelvin Benjamin and Greg Olsen, for the most part, though, you're going to be playing them in your league. What about for the Vikings?
I don't know what Matt Asiata's status is, but the game sets up really nicely for Jerick McKinnon, who recently has been kind of a disappointment. But the Panthers have not been effective in run defense all year. I don't know if Star Latulele is going to play. He missed the Panthers' Week 11 game before their bye. If Asiata is out, McKinnon becomes a boomer bust RB2 with some upside. I think it is worth noting he was kind of outplayed by Joe Banyard last week, maybe starting to hit the rookie wall. But the matchup is so good that it would be tough for me to bench Jerick McKinnon like if I have a flex spot. The wide receiver to watch for the Vikings is Charles Johnson now. A kid that they got off the Browns practice squad. He knows Norv Turner from last year in Cleveland. Last week he played 67 of 69 snaps. He has officially passed Cordarrelle Patterson on the depth chart. Patterson only played 33 snaps. So Charles Johnson right now is the Vikings' number one wide receiver, and the Panthers are not very good in the secondary.
Wow. See, that's the kind of stuff that if you're not really, really paying attention, you wouldn't realize. That's crazy.
Yep.
Next meal.
The New Orleans Saints at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, on the field, obviously, the Saints have been disappointed. Drew Brees had to have had the best fantasy game, bad real performance ever. I mean, his fantasy numbers Monday night were awesome, but it didn't feel like he played that well. I will say this, though. I was encouraged by some of the plays that Marcus Colston made. You've been on him and saying the guy can still do it. The guy can still do it.
He does. His role in their passing offense is not like high volume. You know, he doesn't get very many targets. The real beneficiary of Brandon Cooks being out last week, though, was Kenny Stills. You know, they threw 3 passes behind the line of scrimmage to him. They're trying to get him the ball on screens. I think he finished with what, eight catches for 90 some yards. If you play on FanDuel, I noticed that he only cost 5,100 this week. His price actually dropped from 5,900 to 5,100. I was like, it looks like he's a pricing error. I think that Lord Reeves, Rich Rebar on Twitter, was the first one to notice that. But man, I mean, if you're, you know, if you play on FanDuel, he's almost a must start at that price because he's going to get a lot of target volume, a lot of catches. They're going to try to scheme him the ball, and he can also go downfield and make plays. And Pittsburgh's cornerbacks are not very good. So I think Kenny Stills, at this point, he's an every week third receiver in fantasy, especially in the PPR league.
Next meal.
The Oakland Raiders at the St. Louis Rams.
Rams offense. It feels like it's a little bit of a Kenny Britt revival. Is there a place in some people's lineups for Kenny Britt, maybe?
He was a little disappointing last week. I think they missed a big opportunity to him. I can't remember the exact play, but I know I have that in my mind.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. He's, you know, I don't know. You know, Sean Hill is a game manager, and he's not going to throw the ball a lot, ideally. I mean, that's,
is there anybody,
you know,
on this team, is there anybody on the Rams that you'd say people should be starting? If you have Trey Mason
is the guy who I think is kind of due for a breakout. The Raiders have allowed a league high 11 touchdown runs or 11 touchdowns to running backs over the course of the year. Trey Mason has 17 plus touches in, I believe, 5 of his last 6 games. And I mean, they have committed to him finally. And this is going to be, you know, this is his big opportunity, man. I mean, he's going up against the Raiders in a game where the Rams should be competitive throughout, and they should be able to pile up rushing attempts. Trey Mason, I think this could be his breakout game.
Next meal.
Cincinnati Bengals at the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Boy, I got to tell you, Evan, you were on it with Mike Evans. This, by the way, I mean, how long have you been doing fantasy, Evan? And this has got to be by far, the most influential rookie wide receiver class ever. It is amazing. And Mike Evans, I mean, we're talking about Odell Beckham. Mike Evans, Odell Beckham. Like, this is getting crazy with how much of a focal point of the offenses these guys are.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, I mean, Odell Beckham is clearly already the Giants' number one. I mean, you can look at the target stats and see that. You can watch the games and see that. Mike Evans, same deal. I know he didn't have a huge box score game. He did still score a touchdown, which is kind of his floor at this point, a touchdown per game. But he saw 11 targets. You know, I mean, he's a monster. Now, what do you think, Ross, on that throw that Odell Beckham made that amazing catch on, do you think Mike Evans even has to jump for that?
yeah, he probably would have had to jump, but – it would have looked a lot different aesthetically, for sure.
Right. Absolutely. I don't.
That's a really good point.
As
fantastic as it was for Beckham, that Mike Evans probably gets that without nearly as much effort.
Yep. So, I mean, he's an every week fantasy starter, and you know, it doesn't really matter the matchups at this point with Mike Evans. With Vincent Jackson, it's been a little bit more rocky. And this is not a particularly great matchup. I mean, Cincinnati has been really good against the pass. Pac-Man Jones and Terrence Newman, as old as they are, man, they're still going strong. Vincent Jackson is just a third receiver option in fantasy. And by the way, this Bucks backfield is the truest three-way timeshare in the league at this point. Doug Martin played 35% of the snaps last week. Charles Sims played 34%. And Bobby Rainey played 32%. So, avoid.
Next meal.
The Arizona Cardinals at the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, so we got a couple of NFC teams here in this matchup. So, we're going to break down both of them. How about the Arizona Cardinals signing Michael Bush this week? And I was going to say, what does that mean to you, Evan? But I think Bruce Arians already told us. I mean, Bruce Arians said, we need a big back that can help us finish games. So I guess I wonder if Michael Bush doesn't just finish games, but finishes some drives in the end zone if they can as well.
I totally agree. Totally agree. I mean, Andre Ellington, he's got a big name. He makes flashy plays sometimes. He's been pretty good in fantasy because he gets like a million touches per game. But he's not been very effective on the field, particularly as a runner. I mean, he's averaging under 2 yards a carry over his last three games. He has gone over 4 yards a carry one time in his last 9 games. They need another guy. I'm surprised that, and I know that they had Jonathan Dwyer at one point, but he's not really, you know, he's not what you're looking for. I'm just surprised that they did not place more emphasis on that number two running back spot. And I agree. I think that if Michael Bush is in good shape, and they wouldn't have signed him if he wasn't, I think that he will immediately be in the mix for 6 to 10 touches a game, and he will probably get the call in goal line situations.
So it really is interesting. As of when we record this Wednesday at 1:30, what are you thinking about Larry Fitzgerald?
Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. Which means that it does look good for John Brown. This is a game in Atlanta, an indoor game against one of the worst pass defenses in football, maybe the worst pass defense in football, where I think Desmond Trufant, because of his size, will probably be asked to match up more with Michael Floyd. So that means that John Brown, you know, with Robert Alford out, John Brown will be matching up with guys that the Falcons don't want to be playing. And John Brown has big-time explosiveness. He's averaging almost 8 targets a game over the past month. I think this is a John Brown week.
What about for the Falcons, Evan?
You know, I don't think that there's a defense in the league that matches up better with the Falcons than the Cardinals.
Agree.
Because
agreed. I was
they
just
will
gonna say
eliminate
that.
Your running game. I mean, the Falcons will not have a running game on Sunday. And then they have the two big corners to match up perfectly with Julio Jones and Roddy White. And that's not to say that –
and they can get pressure because Bowles will dial up pressure against that O-line. Because, you know, everybody's giving Bowles a lot of credit for the blitz packages, and I get it. But having those two corners gives you the confidence to be able to use those blitz packages.
Yeah, man. I mean, they're going to play man on the outside. They're going to take away the running game. There will not be any running game, and they're just going to blitz. It's going to be an ugly game for Matt Ryan. I don't know if I'd start him in fantasy. I mean, it's that big of a concern. Even in the Georgia Dome, I don't think you can touch Matt Ryan this week. I think you still start the wide receivers, and you just kind of hope that Roddy White beats Patrick Peterson for a touchdown. Pro Football Focus has charged him with the most touchdowns allowed among cornerbacks this year. And look, Julio Jones can go beat Antonio Cromartie a few times and end up with a good box score. But I think that the matchup is awful for Atlanta.
Next meal.
Our final NFC game this week, the New England Patriots at the Green Bay Packers.
Well, I mean, Green Bay, is there any hesitation for anybody because of this secondary right now? I mean, Eddie Lacy, there was an Eddie Lacy game on Sunday against Minnesota. Is there any consideration at all if you have Jordy or Randall Cobb to not start them, or is that just foolish?
No, I mean, you got to roll them out. You know, the over-under is 58.5, I think, which is huge and the biggest of the week. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a trap, though. I don't think it's going to be that high scoring of a game. I mean, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to go light up Browner and Revis. And I don't think that Brady is going to go light up the Packers at Lambeau. So I think that if I was a betting man, I would bet that under. But still, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I would expect it to be – based on what the Patriots have done the last 2-3 weeks, I would expect to see Brandon Browner against Jordy Nelson and Revis against Randall Cobb. That said, you know, I mean, Revis is scary, but Reggie Wayne had some production against the Patriots a couple of weeks ago, and Golden Tate did too. I mean, he went over 100 total yards. So you can't bench those guys, even though – you know, from a real-life football perspective, it is a very difficult matchup for the Packers' passing game.
Well, that'll do it for the NFC Fantasy Feast, Week 13 in the National Football League. Most of you will listen to this, hopefully, before the Thanksgiving Day games. Have a terrific Thanksgiving, everybody. Now it's time to eat. It's time to eat in your fantasy leagues to get to the playoffs and to win championships. It's time to eat Thanksgiving on Thursday. We appreciate those of you that show your support, whether it's spreading the word with a retweet or a like on Facebook or going to stamps.com, signing up, and sending me an email, ross@rostucker.com, when you do. Whatever you end up doing, it's much appreciated. Enjoy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
TrueCar is changing car buying forever. TrueCar helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Just in the first 6 months of this year, over 275,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want, then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Just print out your savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.